Chapter 2.
Oh my gods!
Isabella gasped as she rushed past me toward the couple on the floor.
Mother! Father!
What happened? I demanded, and knelt beside the Nepin to free her parents. Who did this to you? Isabella's mother's eyes were wild as she yanked the cloth from her mouth and took a shaky breath.
Mother, please, we can help you,
Isabella begged.
Just tell us who did this. I don't know who they were,
her mother finally answered, but her eyes darted over to me with suspicion.
They weren't Nepins, and I haven't heard them leave.
Shit, I muttered, and looked over at Nike. We need to check it out.
Why would we let you roam our house? Isabella's father huffed. For all we know, you're with them.
They're not, Papa,
Isabella assured him.
I'll explain everything once we're safe.
Before they could argue anymore, Nike and I unsheathed our swords and rushed out of the room. We checked the other rooms in the hall, but they were all empty. Then I heard a hushed whisper from downstairs, so we looked at each other and nodded. Whoever had broken in and tied up Isabella's parents was down there, and we weren't about to let them get away. We moved silently down the steps and gripped our blades. As we rounded the bottom of the staircase, I caught a flash of movement. I stormed into what appeared to be the living room just as a robed intruder dropped a wooden box on the floor. The wood splintered as soon as it landed, and both of us looked down for a second before I swung my sword and aimed for his head. The intruder ducked the blow and rolled to my right before he murmured a few words under his breath. Suddenly, a thick white fog filled the room like he'd set off a smoke bomb, and I grunted as I tried to wave it out of my vision.
I can't see the other one, Nike called out,
and I felt the movement in the air as he entered the foggy room.
Me either,
I growled as I racked my brain for a solution. Can you use your sword to get rid of it?
I think so, he murmured. Close your eyes.
I squeezed my eyes shut as a burst of light lit up the room, and even through my eyelids I could tell the light was as bright as the sun and felt just as warm. As soon as the light was gone, I opened my eyes to see the fog had almost dissipated in the heat of his sword's light. The room wasn't very big, but it had high ceilings and floor-to-ceiling windows that made it look even bigger. I could see all of it better without the fog, though I didn't see the little bastards who had thrown the magical smoke bomb. Nice, I remarked as I looked around the room. But where did they go?
Right here,
a voice hissed from behind us. We whirled around to see a pair of intruders, and one of them had a small satchel wrapped around his chest. Ah, thanks for making it a little easier on us, I smirked.
You can surrender now or deal with whatever we give you. Which one is it going to be?
We have magic,
one of the men warned. You think you're the only ones? I chuckled.
Think again.
Before they could utter another word, we charged. I thrust my sword forward and nicked my target's arm as he shimmied out of my path. I didn't stop moving, and I swung the blade around to take him at the knees. He jumped over my sword and landed on wobbly legs as he tried for a jab to my ribs, but I easily blocked the shot with my left hand and brought the handle of the sword up into his gut. The masked intruder sucked in a gasping breath as the handle connected with his solar plexus, and I followed the blow with a quick burst of petrification magic to his face. He immediately stiffened and fell to the side in a petrified heap, and I turned to see Nike had taken on the mage. He dodged everything the bandit threw at him, but he couldn't get close enough to strike back with the Sword of Light. By now, we'd made our way into the dining room, and the mage leapt up onto the table as he continued to toss a series of magical orbs at Nike. The noble slashed his sword through them before they connected, and I started to help him out when a crash back behind us caught my attention.
Go! Nike yelled. I got this!
I furrowed my brow before I whirled around and sprinted back into the living room. A third intruder had thrown aside several things from the family's bookshelf, and now he held up a metal disc and examined it in the light. He looked no bigger than the dwarves I'd met in Kolaruma, though he was just as stocky.
Hey!
I bellowed as I lowered my shoulder and tackled the man.
What the?
He grunted. We rolled across the floor, and I felt my sword start to slip out of my hand as he grabbed one of my wrists. I shoved back, and he dropped the metal disc. It clattered across the wooden floor, and the man's eyes widened as he searched the room for his prize. I took advantage of the distraction and ripped my arm from his grasp before I brought my elbow down onto his nose. I heard the distinct crack of breaking cartilage, and he howled in pain. I rolled away, and I jumped to my feet as he tried to crawl away from me with blood dripping out from under his mask. I realized he was making his way to the disc on the floor, and I swung my leg back and kicked him square in the ribs with the toe of my boot. His hands and knees left the ground for a second, and he landed with another groan.
"That's not yours,"
I growled, before I stepped over his back and squatted low enough to wrap my arm around his neck.
"Tell me why you're here!"
"Never!"
he choked out.
"You'll regret it,"
I smirked, as I tightened my grip until I felt his body go limp underneath me. I reached down and picked up the metal disc he'd found and tucked it into my pocket. I wasn't sure what it was or why he wanted it, but I'd soon find out. It seemed only one of the three men had magic, and it sounded like Nike was still dealing with the bastard in the dining room. I dragged the unconscious wannabe burglar into the room just in time to duck under a bright yellow orb that sailed across the room and crashed against the living room wall behind me. The mage now floated above the dining table, and he continued to launch various colored orbs at Nike before he realized I was back. He threw one at me, and I activated my fire shield to block the shot. The orange ball crashed into my shield, and I expected to have to hold back its power, but it fizzled and melted to the floor with a plop. Okay, so this guy really didn't have a lot of power, just a lot of colors. Time to educate the Rainbow Boy. I called back the fire shield and summoned my web magic. Then I shot two webs at the mage's feet, and the webbing wrapped around his boots and pinned them to the ceiling. The rest of his body flipped to hang upside down, and his brow furrowed in anger.
Hey!
He shrieked as he tugged at his feet and tried to release the web's hold.
Let me down!
Not a chance, I retorted. I might just roast you instead, actually.
Roast me?
The intruder gasped.
Yup. Melt that mask right onto your face.
I shrugged as I climbed up onto the table below him.
Then you won't have to worry about finding a new one for your little heists.
You don't have to,
he stammered. Oh, I like it, I whispered, as I put my palm against the side of his head and let the heat warm my skin.
Now, one of you is going to tell me what the fuck you're doing here, and you have about 5 minutes to decide which one.
I grabbed the mask, ripped it off his face, and tossed it to the ground. My captive looked like a young snake demihuman, and his yellow eyes darted around the room as he searched for an exit before they landed on his friend, who laid petrified and unconscious on the floor. I hopped off the table and let him watch me grab the satchel from his buddy. Then I opened it, but I wasn't sure what to think when I realized it was empty. I started to walk toward the stairs to give everyone the all clear when Naomi peeked her head around the corner.
Looks like you've handled them,
she observed with a grin as she looked up at the snake dangling above us.
Yeah, I just need the other two tied up, I said. Do you mind?
Sure,
the lizard mage agreed. With the flick of her wrist, black coils of magic wrapped around the other two burglars as I pulled out two of the dining chairs. Then Naomi guided the two men into the chairs and tied the magical coils around them. I pulled off the other men's masks, and I was slightly surprised to see the purple hair and black eyes of a Messick. The only other Messick I'd met was Saya, one of the girls who worked in the fields back in Hatra. She'd been quiet and kind, and I realized I didn't know much about their race. The other bandit was human, and he also looked young. I felt like I was looking at a group of teenagers that had tied up this poor couple and tried to rob them blind. I healed the petrified human, and he shook himself awake to open his startled green eyes.
Oh, gods!
He groaned.
Oh, we're dead! So dead!
It's still a distinct possibility, I growled. I'll give you the same deal I gave your buddy. You have make that 4 minutes to tell me what I want to know before I get it out of you myself.
I turned my back to the bandits and faced Isabella and her parents with my lovers right behind them.
Who are they?
Isabella's mother asked as she gnawed her fingernails.
I've never seen any of them before. Oh, God, is that a Messick?
I believe so, I nodded. But you're certain neither of you know them?
Not at all, her father replied with a frown. We never leave Yorosa, and only Nepans live here. We wouldn't know them from anywhere else.
And why would they want to rob us?
Her mother wondered.
We don't have money or gold. We lost the dowry we did have.
She shot a glaring look at Isabella, who dropped her head to her chest. That must be the husband she decided she didn't want to marry. So you have absolutely nothing of value in your home? I pressed. They trashed all the rooms down here to look for things, which seems a little odd, given you aren't a noble family or have any treasures.
I agree, Isabella's father boomed. Perhaps they had the wrong information about a house to rob, since they obviously aren't from here.
Oh, that would make sense,
his wife agreed.
There are just so many things going on. I'm feeling very overwhelmed.
Isabella, you need to explain the strangers you brought into our home,
her father said as he supported her mother.
This is all outrageous!
Father, this is Lord Evan,
Isabella answered as she stepped past them to stand next to me.
These are my parents, Rosia and Mel. Mother, Papa, I have joined Lord Evan's family, and we came to Yerosa on a mission.
His family?
Her mother's eyes widened as she sagged even more against her husband.
Oh, gods! Our daughter is a consort!
It's nothing like that, I chuckled. I promise. We do, however, have a mission to complete, so thank you for allowing us into your home.
You didn't give us much choice, Mel muttered, as he looked down at his feet. You appeared in the attic.
That's true, I agreed, as Ravi, Mariah, and Laika stifled their smiles. But nevertheless, here we are. Now, back to this burglar thing. I'm going to ask them why they came here, but I need you to be certain you don't have anything they would want.
Lord Evan, you seem like the type of person who can tell if a person is being dishonest,
Mel replied with a smirk.
So please, understand that when I say we have nothing of value, I mean it.
Strange, I murmured, as I pulled the metal disc from my pocket. Do you know what this is? As I held it out for them to see, I realized it was actually a very intricately designed piece of art. It featured dotted lines and swirls similar to Isabella's tattoos, which I noticed her parents had as well, and at various intervals along the edge were small blue stones that reminded me of turquoise back on Earth. It was an exquisite design, and the Nepins stared at it with complete disbelief.
It's ours,
Isabella's mother finally said.
Of course we know what it is.
Well, the Messick had it when I took him down, I explained. So is there any reason they'd be trying to steal it?
He's priceless.
Her father took the disc from my hand and gently laid it in his palm.
A family heirloom from back when my ancestors left the fairy tribe. How did they even know we had this?
I guess I'll add that to my list of things to find out, I shrugged, and started to turn around to face my prey before I paused and glanced at the Nepins. You may not want to see how I get my information.
Oh, gods.
Rosia groaned and turned to press her face to Mel's chest. He nodded to me and held his wife's head against his body so she couldn't see. Then I turned and stood in front of the three intruders.
All right, who's decided to be honest with me? I asked in a thunderous voice.
No one!
The snake demi-human stuttered and crossed his arms over his chest as he continued to dangle above me.
You might have some magic, but you can't make us talk!
Some magic? I quirked an amused eyebrow at the snake. Here's how this goes. I ask you a question, and my magic pulls it out. How easy or hard it is on you depends on if you fight the truth or not, got it?
Oh, whatever!
The demi-human sneered. Why did you come here? I asked, as I called on the nature magic I learned from the Sola fairies. I felt the surge of energy from the ground below me as nature answered my call. The blue-green coils of magic burst from my hands and rocketed toward the snake's open mouth, and he gasped as they slipped inside and reached for the truth that dwelled inside him.
Yeah, to steal something!
He screeched when the coils pulled it out.
Wow, so tough, the human snorted. I'll bet it didn't even hurt.
Here, you can have a turn, I smirked, as I turned around and held out my hands. What did you come to steal? My nature magic poured from my hands and ripped between the human's tight lips as his eyes widened in fear. Then he fought the spell. His screams of pain and rage echoed around the dining room, and he fought at the bindings as he tried to resist the magic. I knew the magic would pull at the truth until he finally released it, and he was stubborn enough to withstand the pain for a few seconds, but he finally gave in.
Ah, the ancestry relic!
The human screamed as blood dribbled over his lips.
That thing you were holding! Ah, that's what we came for!
Why? I demanded. He hesitated, and I raised my palms again to use my magic, but he shook his head.
No! I'll tell you! Just don't do that again, okay?
He begged.
We aren't the only ones here, I know that.
and we're all given an item in a location, that's it. Who gave you the information? I pressed as I leaned in closer. I need to know all of it.
Just some guy,
the young man wailed.
None of us know his name,
the messic offered.
He never told us. He just gives us an item and a place. We take it, he pays us, that's the deal.
You've done this before?
Rosia finally lifted her head in shock.
A few times.
The messic shrugged and looked away.
We only tie people up when they're home. We can usually sneak in and out no problem.
I eyed the captives for a moment before I motioned for everyone else to follow me into the dining room. I think this may be exactly what we needed, I mused.
For what?
Aliona wondered. For our way in with the nobles, I explained. Listen, if they've been doing this for a while without getting caught, then we're the only ones who know about them. So we can present them to this noble council and use that connection to find the person we came here for.
Who did you come here for?
Mel asked with narrowed eyes. Don't worry about that, I replied. You store your family relic somewhere safe and we'll handle the rest.
Well, I think we should go with you to City Hall,
Rosia interjected.
I don't think that's a good idea,
Lyca argued and frowned.
If you think the noble council will simply take you at your word, you are mistaken,
she insisted.
You'll need more than our daughter to verify what you're telling them.
I mulled that over for a few moments before I glanced at Aliona, who nodded her agreement. Okay, you can come with us, but don't get close to the prisoners, I warned. Only one of them has some kind of magical abilities, but I don't know enough about the other two to trust them. Deal?
Of course, Lord Evan,
Rosia agreed.
I'll go take care of this and be right back, Mel said, as he held up the ancestry relic before he disappeared up the stairs.
Let's get these three ready to travel, I chuckled. A few minutes later, Naomi and Aliona had all three men bound and ready to float behind us as we made our way out the door. When we walked outside, I got my first real glimpse of the city of Eurosa. The buildings were made of a dark red wood, and they reminded me of log cabins back on Earth. Most of them were at least two stories high, with the same tall windows I'd noticed in Isabella's parents' house, and the road was merely flattened dirt surrounded by lush green grass around each building. It looked like a campground in the middle of a forest, though the trees within the city were sparse. I figured they used the trees for their houses, since the trunks were the same deep red color. We followed Isabella and her parents through the city, and dozens of blue-skinned citizens watched us with bewildered caution. No one dared to ask what was going on, and I could see Isabella hadn't been exaggerating about the few number of visitors to Eurosa. The people seemed absolutely shocked to see anyone besides other Nepans within its walls, and the three captives who floated along behind us probably didn't help. A few minutes later, we arrived at a long wooden building with a sheet metal-type roof and green double doors in the center. Two Nepans stood guard on either side, and they eyed us with wariness as we approached.
"State your business,"
one of them said, and tightened the grip on his staff. "My name is Lord Evan, and this is my wife, Princess Aliona," I declared with a sweeping gesture toward her. "We need to see the noble council."
"Oh, your highness!"
The other guard gasped as he dropped to one knee, and the other guard quickly followed suit.
"My lord, it is an honor to have you both in our city, but I am afraid the council is currently in session."
"Good, then they're all here," I smirked, as I continued toward the door. "We have a few things to discuss." The guards looked at each other skeptically before they pushed open the doors to let us inside, and I breezed past them and looked around the wide-open room. The wood floors were polished to a perfect sparkle, and the walls were devoid of any kind of decoration. There were two doors on the wall to the left, one door straight ahead, and another set of double doors to the right.
"They meet in there,"
Isabella said, as she pointed to the double doors.
"I've never, been inside, so I don't know if you need to, knock or something."
"Nah," I chuckled as I strode across the room and threw the doors open. "Good morning, noble council." Two female Nepans and five males whirled around to face us with looks of shock and fear. They all seemed to be around the same age as Isabella's parents, and they had the same series of dots and lines tattooed on their bodies.
"What is the meaning of this?"
one of the women shrieked and pressed a blue hand to her chest.
"Guards!"
"They let us in, don't worry," I assured her. "I'm Lord Evan, and this is my wife, Princess Aliona. I'm sure you can see why they allowed us to interrupt your meeting."
"Oh!"
one of the Nepan men slid out of his chair to bow to us.
"You grace us with your presence, your highness."
I motioned for Naomi and Aliona to deposit the captives on the floor, and the trio landed with a thump. "You seem to have a bandit problem," I declared. "These are three we caught in Rosia and Mel's home this morning."
"Bandits?" one of the other men echoed with a frown. "How do you know that if you only just arrived? We've never had bandits here."
"Well, we caught them in the act," I retorted. "I can't help it if they were dumb enough to try to steal from the house we portaled into. And they said they aren't working alone."
"This is insane!"
another woman screeched.
"How do we know you're even who you say you are? Maybe you're the ones who brought them here!"
"You think we brought our own bandits?"
Naomi arched a magenta eyebrow at the woman.
"That's ridiculous. If we brought them, why would we deliver them to you?"
Lyca pointed out as her furry gray ears twitched in annoyance.
"To gain our trust,"
the woman insisted and crossed her arms over her chest.
"We obviously wouldn't easily trust outsiders."
"And what would be our goal?" I was almost amused with this ridiculous line of questioning.
"To steal from the noble council families, of course,"
she retorted.
"We are the ones with multiple treasures, after all."
"Well, then you should probably do an inventory check," I chuckled.
"What's that supposed to mean?"
the woman demanded.
"These intruders told us that they have been here before and successfully left with the items they stole,"
Aliona explained in a gentle tone.
"If you have as many treasures as you indicated, they may have already taken something without you noticing."
"Oh, gods!"
the councilwoman groaned and slumped back into her chair.
"Besides, the princess of our country wouldn't be involved in such matters,"
one of the Nepen men said in a matter-of-fact voice, before he turned to look at Aliona.
"Right, your highness?"
"Indeed,"
she murmured and offered him a smile.
"Neither would my husband, though apparently word has not reached your city about the wonderful work he's already done for Rama. If you had, you would never suspect him either."
"We can confirm Lord Evan helped us dispose of these criminals,"
Mel said as he stepped forward to stand next to me.
"He and his, companions arrived just in time to prevent them from stealing our family heirloom."
"And we made sure to bring the culprit straight here so we could work with the council to find the rest of their group before anyone else is hurt or robbed,"
Isabella added.
"I see,"
the female council member murmured as she rubbed her chin in thought.
"This is certainly an interesting situation, unlike any other we've experienced."
"I can understand that," I said with a smile. "I can promise you I have no evil plans for your city. As the son-in-law of the king, I'm only here to help." The nobles began to lean in and whisper to each other, and I started to tune in when Mariah grabbed my hand, so I turned away from the council to listen to her instead.
"My lord,"
she said in a soft voice.
"My sister, she's here."
"In the room?" I asked.
"No."
The spirit shook her head.
"But close by. I can't quite reach her to ask where exactly. I'm not sure why yet."
"Like, maybe the sword is hidden," I mused. Someone in this room was likely the noble of the sword, but I didn't see anyone who called out to me. The council looked like a bunch of sissies, if I was being honest, and I wouldn't ask a single one to join me in battle. I glanced over at Nike, and he seemed to be just as unimpressed as I was, so I wondered if Anya had also told him the other spirit was close. My first instinct was to ask who had the sword, but they'd already shown their lack of trust even with the gift of catching the bandits. I'd have to show them I meant business. So I tuned in my dragon hearing to their huddled conversation.
"He brought us the criminals,"
one of the men insisted quietly.
"Surely that's a good sign."
"But why are they here in the first place?"
another one asked, with a slight shudder.
"Have we angered the king?"
"Dasele nolen. The princess doesn't go around the kingdom doling out punishment,"
a woman pointed out.
"She wasn't even seen for ages."
"Then we really don't know what they could be up to, Morgan,"
the first man insisted.
"This could cause quite a commotion for Yarossa."
A light bulb clicked on in my head. They were more worried about why Aliona and I were here than they were about the bandits. It was obvious they rarely had visitors, but it was terrifying to them that the princess and future king had arrived without announcement. "Okay, listen," I interrupted their discussion, and seven silver-headed Nepens whirled to face me. "I can tell you're upset about our appearance, which I understand, but I've vowed my allegiance to Rama and her people, which means I'm here to help. I'd like to help you stop these thieves and figure out who is behind it."
"What do you mean?"
the man I'd heard called Nolan asked, and he narrowed his eyes suspiciously. These three admitted to taking orders from a leader, I explained, as I gestured to the tied-up bandits. I can find out who that is.
Why would you do that for us?
Morgan asked.
You are married to the princess, which means you are likely to take the throne in coming years. What is your business with Yerosa?
My business is making sure my people are safe, I answered easily. With a group of thieves running around your city, I'd call that decidedly unsafe, so I'll solve your problem. Once we're finished and I have the culprit, I'll ask you for your help with my problem.
You came here for a problem of your own?
She asked with raised eyebrows. That I need your help with, yes, I clarified. And I'll explain everything once we have this bandit thing under control. Do we have a deal? Morgan looked at the other female Nepin warily, and the two leaned in for more hushed conversation. The men quickly joined in, and I resisted listening in again as they conferred about my offer.
Do you think they'll accept? Nike asked under his breath.
They'd be stupid not to,
Lyca grunted.
We have to find the sword either way, so they might as well get our help out of the deal.
True, but they seem very suspicious of us, I pointed out.
Because almost none of them have ever met someone who wasn't a Nepin,
Isabella chimed in.
I was the first in many years to venture into another city because we were always taught not to trust outsiders.
What made you decide to go, anyway? I wondered.
Curiosity,
she giggled, and her mom shot her an annoyed look.
Well, it was. I always felt so confined here, and I had no desire to marry that insipid fool they'd chosen.
Maurice is not insipid,
Rosia argued with a frown.
He is a gentleman.
Mother, he didn't know how to hold the conversation for more than 30 seconds without running out of things to say because he has no interests besides working at the mill.
Isabella sighed.
He was so utterly boring.
Sounds like someone else I know. I chuckled with a wink at Nike.
I have no idea what you mean, he scoffed before he grinned.
Nike's grandfather had intended for him to marry an incredibly boring closet psycho named Margaret. But we'd taken care of that betrothal thing a few days ago in Lady. Now Nike was free to marry whomever he wanted, which meant he wasn't stuck with that stick in the mud. My women giggled as we all remembered Margaret, though Isabella's parents didn't seem very amused. Then Morgan cleared her throat, and we all looked up to see the noble council rise from their huddle and face us again.
So, you will rid our city of these thieves, and we will help you with a problem?
She said carefully.
There is nothing more you require of us?
Nope. I shook my head and grinned. No punishment coming down from the King of Rama. Just me and my family trying to find something, and one of you can help us. The Nepins looked at each other again with a bit of apprehension.
We will accept your offer, Nolan finally said. You have already proven to be a worthy opponent to the thieves, so it seems likely you could find the rest and their leader.
Great, I replied. I won't let you down, and I know you'll be helpful to me once the job is done. I turned to face my people, and they all looked at me with a sense of excitement.
Now what, my lord?
Now, we hunt down some thieves, I growled.